well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
Okay, welcome to the show, everyone. We are filling in for, what show are we filling in for? Do we know? Doesn't really matter. This is Chase Kelleher and Chris Taylor. We're going to be doing an election coverage because today is the election of the 45th President of the United States of America. Very exciting. Chris, we're going to go over first what the Electoral College is actually all about, because the Americans do not do a direct election to the office of the presidency. You cool with that?
Yeah, so basically, after the revolution, loyalty to an individual state was still kind of paramount in American culture. So they developed the Constitution, which was intended to unite the states under a single national government. So the Electoral College is a compromise on two important issues. The first was how much power the people should have, and the second was how much power small and large states should have. So small states like New Jersey feared that they'd be swallowed up under the influence of more populous states like Virginia and New York. Virginia and New York, of course, thought that they should have the most influence.
Yeah, of course they did. Okay, so there are 538 total Electoral College votes. Each state gets two for their two senators, and then however many House members they have, which is proportional to the amount of people they have. And there are also three for D.C., extra ones for D.C., mm-hmm. and it's 270 that you need to win, which is 50%+. And also, which is interesting, if no one reaches 270, then the choice goes to the House of Representatives, which picks from the top three candidates in the last election, which, I mean, it's not really the greatest way to pick a president, but
each to their own.
That's how it goes, right? So, yeah, let's move on to third parties, right?
Okay.
So, in colloquial terms, they have a two-party system, but it's not even designed to be a two-party system. It's not even in the Constitution that parties should be a thing, right?
Yeah, well, the original Constitution didn't really take into account the development of political parties.
Yeah, didn't even consider it.
Yeah, so one of the primary examples are kind of the opinion polls don't even take into account the third-party candidates. Like, for example, in the state of Utah, Evan McMullen is highly competitive in the race to win the state in the 2016 presidential election. However, several major polls, including Google, still haven't added his name to the polling questions.
Yeah, they kind of... Republicans and Dems kind of have a monopoly on those polls, or duopoly, right? Completely. Yeah, McMullen, he's actually a Mormon. That's why he's doing so well in Utah.
That's interesting. And I didn't know that.
Yeah, and he looks kind of weird, actually. He's got a bald head, but it's really big. It's like, it's a weird bald head. It's a weird bald head. It's not a cool bald head.
It's like a football.
And he was in the CIA, and I'm pretty sure he's done some shady stuff for being a Mormon. I don't know.
Wow.
Also, so the debates. Mm-hmm. To get into a debate, a third party needs to have 13% of the vote in a collection of polls, and who gets to pick which polls in. And you also have to have a viable path to the presidency, which means you're on enough ballots to get 270, which that one actually makes sense.
It's a completely biased system that's rigged to work in the Democrats and Republicans' favor.
Yeah, there's three Democrats and three Republicans on the board, and they pick who gets in and where the debates are.
Mm-hmm.
And so, they actually replace the League of Women Voters.
Yeah, so it puts complete control of the debate format in the hands of the two dominant parties, and would deprive voters of one of the only chances that they would have to see the candidates outside of their controlled campaigning environment.
How are you supposed to get any name recognition if they've never seen you, heard of you, no one writes about you?
You can't. And that's kind of stemmed from when, like, I think it was 1984 was the last time the League of Women Voters sponsored the debate. 84.
Right.
And then kind of following that election cycle, the Democrats and Republicans came together and sponsored the debate, which basically made this binary between the Democrats and the Republicans, and then everyone else.
Everyone else is shunned to the side.
Everyone else
basically
is shunned to the side, and they're not given a chance.
Unless you have buckets full of money.
Which is another concept on its own, if you talk about public matching funds.
Or, their campaign finance system.
Yeah, so if you don't have your name out there, it's very hard for candidates to gain recognition. And basically, to get a federal election commission, to get funding from the kind of government, it requires you to raise an excess of $5,000 in at least 20 states.
$5,000 in 20 states?
Yeah, so $100,000.
And you need 5% of the vote too, right? Is that in the past election? Is that one?
I think so. I wouldn't back my word on that, but it sounds viable.
I mean, that Evan McMullen guy is about to win a state. He could win Utah, and no one knows anything about him.
No. I didn't even know he was bald.
And looks super creepy.
Yeah.
Okay, we'll play an ad here, and then we'll move on to something else, I'm guessing. One second here. It's this one.
Are you interested in human rights and social justice? Come check out Amnesty International UBC. We fight to stop human rights violations all over the world, including here in Canada. Our club hosts letter writing sessions, social events, documentary nights, bar fundraisers, and current events discussions on a bi-weekly basis. So keep your ears open and check out our Amnesty International UBC Facebook page for more information. We look forward to promoting human rights with you.
Okay, we're back. We're going to move on to how the race looks today. So last night, the polls opened at 12 a.m. in New Hampshire, and they're the first ones to open. And the first one that closes today, I believe, is at 4 p.m. I'm not sure if that's New Hampshire again. But, yeah, so the first one closed at 4 is when they'll start counting. So our battleground states this year, there's a couple new ones, but they're basically all the same as they are every year, are Nevada. The big ones are Nevada, Colorado, Pennsylvania, and New Hampshire, and Florida again, just like 2000, right?
Well, Florida is just like...
What is wrong with those people?
Well, Florida's got like 29 electoral votes, right? So
it's huge.
It represents more than 10% of the 270 votes needed to win the White House. And the two states with more, California, is always probably going to vote Democrat.
Yeah.
And Texas is probably always going to vote Republican.
Yeah.
So it's been in play for decades. And it's one of them states that if you want to win the path to the White House, you need to capture it.
You need to win it, right? It's kind of... I've actually heard talk about Texas not being Republican.
Yeah, I've
next,
heard it's kind of swinging a wee bit, but...
It's a lot of... Because they have a lot of immigration down there, right?
Well,
and since Trump's wonderful talk of Mexicans, he's kind of messed that up for generations
to
come, right?
That's interesting because it just shows how much of a large minority populace has affected the traditional Republican states. It goes beyond Texas. There's examples in Colorado, North Carolina, Virginia, and even in Arizona now.
Of immigration just crushing them?
Yeah.
I think because they've had lots of... they've done some numbers on early voting, and for Latinos, it's up like 100-something percent. Like, I think that might be the thing that crushes them. Even after... Sorry. Even after the Romney Obama campaign... I'm starting to talk like you now. The Republicans wrote a report, and in the report it said, we need to improve our outreach to blacks and Mexicans. And they did the exact opposite.
Oh, completely. Completely.
They put the worst candidate forward.
Yeah, like, if you look towards Nevada, their Hispanic turnout is going to be completely significant in how that state decides.
Yeah, all those southern states, right?
Yeah.
I think we should actually play... what Trump said about Mexicans earlier this year, because it'll just show the how badly he appealed. I mean, he didn't even...
He didn't even try.
What an... Oh, man. He's a horrible person. Okay, here we go.
Our country is in serious trouble. We don't have victories anymore. We used to have victories, but we don't have them. One deal. They kill us. When did we beat Japan?
Hold on, sorry, folks. I just got to find the area where he talks about Mexicans. He went on rambling and attacking pretty much everyone there. So,
well, the rapists, all of them, right?
Oh yeah,
that's proven.
That's basically what he said. Okay, here we go. Here it is.
The U.S. has become a dumping ground for everybody else's problems. Thank you.
Yeah.
It's true. And these are the best and the finest. When Mexico sends its people, they're not sending their best. They're not sending you. They're not sending you. They're sending people that have lots of problems, and they're bringing those problems with us. They're bringing drugs. They're bringing crime. They're rapists. And some, I assume, are good people. But-
So we need to build a wall.
Build that wall.
Build that wall.
It's actually so creepy when you listen to some of his rallies and everyone.
It's
build
ridiculous.
The wall. Build the wall.
It's fear mongering.
It's crazy fear mongering. It's the other, right? It's the same tactics that every strongman uses, has used throughout history. It's not your fault. It's those people's fault.
Yeah.
It's not you. It's the black people. It's the brown people.
Yeah. And I think, like, kind of Pennsylvania largely represents America as a whole. Like, it's a state where there's a same medium income as the whole country, and there's a lot more white voters, slightly fewer Asian and Latino voters.
Right.
It has supported the Democratic presidential candidate from 1992, but now I think that kind of the whole ideal about Trump is it's kind of moving away against the traditional candidate towards one, and it's based completely off negative emotions and powerful motivators. Like, people aren't happy with the way things have been going, and they won't change, whether it be for the good or for the bad.
Like, a lot, I can't remember who said it. Was it Michael Moore? I think he said earlier last week that he's basically a Molotov cocktail.
Yeah,
is what Trump is. They just want something to change, and they're just going to toss this big flaming ball of alcohol into the middle of it and just blow the whole thing up. And
it's scary.
It's extremely scary because you can't. I mean, there are times when you need to tear a whole building down, but tearing a whole building down when it's your economy and everyone's livelihood is not the way to do things. I do not think.
No.
A lot of it too, I think, might be just white males losing power in society and they don't know what to do about it. I don't know if that sounds a little lefty, a little too lefty, or.
Yeah, I hadn't really considered it. I think in terms of, well, kind of unemployment's on the decrease now.
That's right. Yeah, that's true.
So if you're looking towards the economy, it is moving in the right direction.
Mm-hmm. Apparently, you know, it's actually a myth that it was poor white people voting for Trump. The average Trump voter had made $75,000 a year.
So it's just a monopoly?
Yeah. What do you mean a monopoly?
Well, I guess in terms of the rich wanting to get richer, and he's going to introduce economic sanctions to allow that.
Well, I think it just means that the vision you have of the average Trump voter who's like a coal miner who lost a job doesn't pan out in the numbers, right?
Yeah, for
sure. You can't make $75,000 when you lost your job overseas.
No. Not unless you got a very successful drug ring or something like that.
What kind of drugs are they doing in Pennsylvania?
Oh, God.
Probably some high class, like
methamphetamine.
Yeah, some kind of meth. Should we go to the issues after another break here?
Yeah, we should probably hit a wee disclaimer that we don't think that everyone in Pennsylvania does methamphetamine.
You can say that. Okay. I hear you.
Nicole from UBC Heart and Stroke Foundation Club. Here at HSF, we aim to promote health and wellness, provide financial and volunteer support for the Heart and Stroke Foundation of BC and Yukon, and foster interest in cardiovascular disease research. If you want to be part of an amazing community of heartthrobs, learn more at www.ubchsf.com.
Okay, we're back. We're going to go to our first issue here, and I think this is the one that will affect the world and Canada and just basically everyone the most, including the United States, and that is their environmental policies. Now, Trump's most bold statement on the environment was that it was a hoax created by the Chinese to crash the American economy. Chris, what do you think about this?
So he did say that. He claimed global warming was a hoax, but I actually did a wee bit of research into this, and in the 23rd of May 2016, Trump filed an application to construct a seawall to protect one of his golf course properties in Ireland from the effects of global warming.
Okay, so can we get that date again?
23rd of May 2016.
So during the campaign, as he's claiming it's a hoax created by the Chinese, his own golf course
in Ireland
is trying to build a wall, and they're trying to get subsidies for it too, so yes, they don't have to even pay for it.
They're claiming global warming and its effects. Classic example of Donald Trump.
Oh. And he's got tons of factories in China and India, and he's blowing smoke in the air, and he just doesn't.
he's completely oblivious and narrow-sighted.
Oh, man. Okay, and you want to talk about the debates and environment as well, right?
Well, like, it was quite depressing to see that despite 270 minutes of debating, the question wasn't brought up about the environment. It actually took Hillary to bring the question up.
And she didn't even really bring it up in a strong way. She usually brought it up in her closing remarks as another thing that she would do. Like, I'm going to bring healthcare. I'm going to work on the environment. She wouldn't.
Yeah.
She wasn't advocating.
We know that she supports the Paris Agreement, right?
Yeah, which is good. That is very good.
Which is very good and opposes the Keystone Pipeline.
Begrudgingly, but she did, right?
Donald Trump supports rescinding the Climate Action Plan and Waters of the U.S. rule.
Waters of the U... what? So, like, no water protection.
Yeah, no water protection around the United States.
Apparently, he said he wanted to...
supports renewing the pipeline.
The Keystone. As well as that one in North Dakota, right?
Canceling the Paris Climate Agreement. So he's coming in.
Canceling it.
Yeah, he's coming in and he's saying, you know what? We've done all this, but
screw it.
It's rubbish. We're just going to turn it on its head.
Ride it right into the rocks, eh?
This is a natural process. It's going to happen.
Up and down. It's the sun. Sunspots. There's flares or something. I don't know.
It's a total hoax, folks.
The Chinese.
Whoever's working in this field, you're doing nothing.
China.
Yeah.
I think Hillary will be way better for the environment, but I just don't know if she's going to be good enough, you know?
Well, should we get the Green Party in there?
I would like the Green Party in there. Well, I don't know. Jill Stein doesn't really have a very good grasp of foreign policy, but on the environment, I mean, if Hillary appointed her to some position...
Yeah.
Or she was in charge of the EPA or something like that. That would be amazing. I highly doubt that will ever happen.
It won't happen under Hillary's rule.
No.
I don't think.
No.
It'd be a cool thing and something that kind of needs to happen. Someone who's more progressive thinking.
Mm-hmm.
But unfortunately, I can't see it happening.
Like, I think Jill Stein called for action like there was in World War II to make weapons to combat climate change, which, I mean... we need it. We need it now. It's not going to happen, though, so...
I guess
we'll just have to deal with it. You don't really have an option, do you? Oh, cool, both these screens are... Okay, foreign policy now.
Okay, so, where do we start?
Where do we start?
China?
Sure, China, yeah.
So, Clinton plans to increase cooperation and reinforce alliances whilst taking a stronger stance against the Chinese human rights... Which seems responsible and reasonable.
Yeah.
Like, it's a huge superpower that we need to respect.
Yeah. Obviously, they have massive power around the world.
Yeah.
They have tons of sea around. They've got North Korea right beside them. I mean,
well, North Korea is a different story.
Yeah.
I don't even want to get started in North Korea.
Okay. But I read a, she wrote a paper in, I think it was 2012, Clinton did, mm-hmm. about, it was called The Pivot to Asia. And she okay. was basically saying, like, Middle East is done. It's over. We're getting out of there, right? Which, I mean, didn't really happen.
No, not at all.
We need to pivot to Asia because China is becoming a giant power. That's why, that's part of the reason why they signed that new, they want this TPP to go through. Mm-hmm. Because if you look at it, it's got all these nations surrounding China and there's no China.
Yeah.
So they want to control the, apparently I heard that they offered China to be in it, but China didn't want to be in it because the environmental protection that they need to put in place.
Yeah.
Right. But it makes sense that if you want to control the economy around China, you pick off all those trading.
Yeah, you need a bigger presence in around the South China Sea.
Right.
Right. Yeah. And that's kind of what Donald Trump's suggesting to move towards, having a larger presence in and around the South China Sea and start to investigate and punish China for their unfair trade practices.
Right. So they're basically on the same boat, I'd say, on China.
Yeah,
there
is actually a few topics where they're on the same boat, mm-hmm. like Cuba.
Yeah.
They're on exactly the same page.
Right. Exactly. They want to open up more trade with Cuba and let them be a democracy finally, hopefully.
Yeah.
So let's go to... let's actually talk about the TPP. Okay. So Trump is saying, no, we're not going to do it. I don't want to do it. Mm-hmm. I would never do it. Do you believe that he would actually not do this?
No.
No. He would for sure sign it, right?
Yeah, yeah, of course.
All of his buddies are corporatists. He owns corporations that that use all these companies for trade. There's no way he wouldn't sign that thing, right?
I couldn't believe it.
And what do you think about Hillary? Do you think same thing? She'd sign it. She would change a couple things and then sign it as well?
I think so.
Yeah?
Yeah. I think she'll... Like, both of them say they oppose it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And... Like, I can't see them.
Yeah.
Like, I can't see it happening.
That's one of those ones that, like, Bernie dragged Hillary kicking and screaming to no TPP.
Yeah.
She said it was the gold standard of trade deals. And then she's like, well, I said that before I read it. Why would you say it's a gold standard before you read it? You think Hillary didn't get a peek at what was going to be in that thing? Of course she did.
It's
the gold standard. And then she's... she does that quite a bit, though.
She does that a lot.
Like, same. She does.
She contradicts herself a lot.
But she'll be so strong for it and then be against it right away.
Yeah, she's...
Like, on gay marriage, I know this was a while ago, and we basically won. It's over.
Yeah.
Right? But what did she say? She said it was basically, it was from God.
Mm-hmm.
So these are concrete. It's from God. And then 10 years later, it's like, oh, no, sure, gay people in gay marriage.
It's interesting, though, that, like, Trump has upended kind of the Republican policy in the recent decades by rejecting free trade and backing tariffs to protect the American industry.
That's totally... He just totally flipped their whole...
Yeah, completely flipped their philosophy.
Yeah. And usually it would be the Democrats who would be less against the free trade.
Yeah.
And more for tariffs and less sending jobs overseas
I think he's quoted as saying, our politicians have aggressively pursued a policy of globalization, moving our jobs, our wealth, and our factories to Mexico and overseas.
Right. It's like it's a race to the bottom, basically. So I'm in econ right now, and they preach free trade. What I found hilarious was the book that we're using for the class was written by the guy who was an economic advisor to George W. Bush, who crashed the American economy. So I'm reading this book and taking this class with the biggest shovel full of salt that you can imagine, right?
I couldn't take that class.
Yeah. it's a little infuriating to read some of the stuff, but
sure.
It's a race to the bottom. So if, let's say, the Haitians are getting paid 50 cents an hour to make shirts, mm-hmm. and someone in, I don't know, a country close to Haiti is making 35, they're going to go to the ones who make 35.
Oh, of course.
They're not going to pay an American guy $12 an hour to make a shirt when they can...
No.
That's just pure profit motive, right?
Yep.
You can it costs less to ship the material there and then back.
Yeah,
and build it here.
That's
right?
The way it is. unfortunately. Should we talk about, like, defense, Iran, Islamic State?
You want to talk about Middle East? Let's go. Quagmire. Okay. Actually, I think we should take, because we're at 130 right now, I want a big chunk on that, so okay. We'll take a break first, and then we will head into the Middle East, I guess, yeah.
At Dunkin' Donuts, so, each and every
talk radio show
is defense
fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
Okay, we're back on CITR 101.9. I haven't even done this intro. I'm supposed to do it about 8 times. So we're on 101.9 CITR coming to you live from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. Hopefully I don't get fired for not doing that.
Oh, I hope so too. So we're going to start off this section by talking about national security, and we'll then move on to kind of the Islamic State, Iran, defense, and Russia.
Yeah.
So Clinton... Hillary,
yep. Should we call her Miss President? She's going to win.
Yeah, probably. Okay, Mrs. President. I'm not going to call her that.
Okay.
Hillary wants to maintain current restrictions under the USA Freedom Act on NSA surveillance.
Restrictions? What kind of restrictions are those?
Because
they don't really have very many restrictions.
No, they don't. So...
Whatever that means,
yeah.
Well, I know there's this thing called a FISA court, mm-hmm. which they use for their warrants to spy on people, or they're supposed to use it, right? And they've got, I think it's a 98 or 99% rate of getting warrants. So it's basically a free-for-all. Like, you don't need much evidence to get one.
So basically, opposing that, Trump wants to reinstate the NSA's bulk surveillance program.
So the full-on before Obama, spying on everyone.
Spying on everyone, tapping phones.
Right.
Everything.
Mm-hmm.
He wants to reinstate that. Hillary wants to close the Guantanamo Bay.
Like Obama did, but...
Like Obama did, but
he never got it done, unfortunately.
Yeah. He got close to it.
He stopped the torture program, which was...
I got to bring this up.
He basically legitimized everything that Trump has said by not going after Bush and Cheney for torture. Yeah. Everything. So Trump saying, I'll torture them even if it doesn't work. They already did that. Mm-hmm. They know torture doesn't work, and they still did it.
Mm-hmm.
And Obama said, we got to look ahead. We got to look forward, right? We don't look back. If I rob a candy bar and the cop pulls me over and cuffs me onto a truck... And I say, oh, no, that was back there. I'm already 3 blocks away, boss. Sorry. It's hideous what he did. It's hideous what they did, and it's also hideous that he let them get away with it. It is cowardly. Right.
It really is. So Hillary wants to continue the prohibition of the use of harsh interrogation tactics, like waterboarding.
Right, which is torture.
Which is torture. And Trump wants to approve the use of these tactics.
Even if it doesn't work,
Even if it doesn't work, which has kind of been proven.
Yeah, it's been proven. It does not work. And they will tell you anything they think you want them to hear.
Yeah. And then Hillary, to be further, she does want to tighten the screening process of people who have traveled to the countries facing problems with terrorism.
The immigration on them, you mean?
Sorry. Yes. So she wants... better screening when they're coming back into
their
the country.
Screening, right?
Yeah, which is fair, and I think does need to happen. I just hope that it doesn't
limit too many people
but, of a race.
Well, the immigration in the States is the strictest in the world already.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
It takes a minimum a year and a half to get approved, which is all. I mean, that is so long. That's longer than it's longer than any country. So. I don't know how much more she's going to intensify. The only way you can get it more intense is to have people actually on the ground living with those people that know who they are.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we'll see.
And then Trump just wants to suspend immigration.
Until we can figure out what the hell is going on.
Oh, it's...
Remember when he said that?
Yeah. It's nuts.
What do you have to... You can't say anything about that.
No,
I mean,
you can't. It's crazy. It's a guy that's talking about something that he doesn't know anything about.
Right. Because he said, until we can figure out what the hell's going on. Well, we know what's going on. There's a war and there's refugees.
Yeah. So, should we talk about the Islamic State?
Yeah, let's talk about the Islamic State.
So, Hillary wants to fight the Islamic State with a coalition of Western and Arab states. She wants to establish a no-fly zone over parts of Syria, conduct more U.S. airstrikes, and arm and support Kurdish and Sunni Arab fighters.
Right. So, what I want to know from her is... See, I'm not exactly opposed to having the coalition and having those countries figure it out themselves.
Yeah.
What I want to know is, what is the plan after you beat the Islamic State? And she's against Assad as well. She's like Obama. She wants to kill everyone on both sides, which is a preposterous position to take in a war. But we'll give it to her, right? Yeah. We'll say they win. What happens afterwards?
Yeah, like...
What is your plan?
Look what's happened in Iraq.
It's... Yeah, chaos, right? They had no plan. Bush couldn't get the authorization from the Iraqi military to not put their soldiers in jail, so they had to leave anyways. So Obama pulled out on the Bush timeline, and the government treated the Sunnis badly. They rose up, and then ISIL comes out of that, right?
It's never going to be a healthy country when there's still a huge foreign influence in it.
So you think the United States just needs to get out? Or do you think they should form that coalition and do airstrikes and do the no-fly zone?
Well, I think that's going to happen anyway.
It doesn't really matter. It doesn't matter. Right?
The only difference between... Again, Clinton and Trump have very similar ideas about what they're going to do with the Islamic State, except that Trump wants to deploy a lot more ground forces into Iraq and Syria.
And he wants to torture them.
But in terms of kind
of... And kill their families.
Both of them want to achieve this coalition and establish the no-fly zones and basically conduct more U.S. airstrikes.
Right.
It just comes down to kind of how they approach the ground force implementation
right.
of troops.
Like, so Hillary has said repeatedly she's not going to put ground troops in. And I don't think she will, but I do think she will kill a lot of people with drones, more than Obama. It'll be her drone campaign it'll dwarf Obama's drone campaign. So many more brown people are gonna die. I mean, that's just this fact, right?
It's sad.
And the no fly zone. So here's the concern with the no fly zone. So Russia backs Assad, right? Mm-hmm. Apparently, this is what I've heard. I mean, I don't know. Yeah, through the grapevine, through the interwebs, that to make a no-fly zone, you need ground troops. Now, I don't think they're going to use U.S. ground troops. They might do the thing where they have advisors, and then the advisors help the Syrians or whoever they're backing in Syria to set up this no-fly zone, right? If they shoot down a Russian plane in Syria, oh, my God.
It's World War III.
That's mushroom clouds. I'm going to draw one right here. That's mushroom clouds. That looks more like a tree. That is straight mushroom clouds. There's no... If she... Do not shoot down a Russian plane. That's all I'm going to say. Oh, Don't do it. Don't shoot down a Syrian plane either, because they're backing...
Yeah.
Russia's backing
them. Unless Trump's get elected, and then you'll see Putin and Trump flying their own planes over Syria together, hand in hand, dropping bombs.
He's in the co-pilot seat, holding hands. They're making out.
Do you ever remember them wee motorbikes that had the wee sidecar attached?
Yeah. It was in the sidecar, though. Was it Trump?
Yeah.
For sure it's Trump.
Oh, come on.
Yeah.
Putin's 100% driving that.
Like, I honestly don't think that... him being friendly with Russia is so bad. Because you don't make friends with your allies. You're already friends. Mm-hmm. You make peace with your enemies.
Yeah. And Clinton's making enemies.
They are red baiting so hard
on
these emails and just basically in general on Russia. They've been red baiting for the last month at least, ramping it up. Every time you bring up Hillary's emails, it's a huge pivot to Putin did it, Russia did it.
Yeah.
And all that's going to do is escalate. I mean, NATO is sending troops. Even Justin Trudeau, I think he sent 20,000 Canadian troops to a country on Russia's border. They're doing military action. They're doing drills right on their border. Imagine if the Russians sent 20,000 troops to Mexico and started doing training, or Cuba, and started doing training actions in Cuba, like practicing boarding the beach and stuff.
That's nuts.
America would never stand for it.
No chance.
And they're saying Russia's the aggressive one.
Yeah, they said Russia's the aggressor. It's completely...
It's madness.
Yeah, it's the way the media portray this as well.
Yeah, okay, so I was reading an article, and it was about Trudeau sending those troops, and it said Justin Trudeau had to respond by sending 40,000 troops. Had to.
Had to respond to who?
Putin. He didn't have to. He did it. He decided to do it.
Yeah.
You don't have to send 20,000 troops right to his border.
Okay, if I don't send 20,000 troops to the border, I'm not going to be prime minister anymore.
Exactly. Like, no. Everyone loves you. Like,
yeah.
I just think it's real dangerous
and
what
they're
doing.
And, he's going against his own incentive. Like, no way he wants to do that.
Yeah, I don't think that Trudeau, like, I didn't imagine him being that aggressive. Especially against Russia. Like, what are you doing? Yeah.
What's Russia doing to Canada?
Well, it's not Canada. It's the other NATO allies, right?
Yeah.
And we're in this insane pact. It's the same kind of pact that kicked off World War II.
Mm-hmm.
All these different allied states that have almost nothing to do with each other. And then one gets attacked, and then we have to go defend them.
Yeah.
Right? So there were some backroom deals where the states was trying to get the Ukraine into NATO. Yeah. Or Russia thought they were, so they were like, "Oh, let's go take it,
Ukraine,
right?"
Yeah.
And that's what they did. They took Crimea, which is it's bad. It's annexation. You're not supposed to do that.
Do you think that Trump's policy in Russia is better than Clinton's?
I honestly think it might be.
Yeah. So
I know Putin's a horrible person, and he murders journalists, and he's a dictator.
Yeah.
But having a dictator in Russia is better than having World War III.
Yeah, so we will just clarify to the listeners what Trump's policy is with Russia.
Yes, please.
And it's to forge a working relationship with Vladimir Putin, who is the president. Urge European states to put diplomatic pressure on Russia for its Ukraine intervention. And increase pressure on NATO allies in Europe to contribute more to the alliance. Which sounds pretty reasonable.
America foots a bill all across the world. They're going bankrupt. I mean, they're like the Romans, right?
Yeah.
Their empire is unstoppable. They got, 900 bases or something around the world?
Stupid amount.
900 plus all these weird CIA black sites where they're putting fingers in butts and stuff like that. I mean, it's insanity, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so we don't have this written down, but I wanted to talk about this thing. It's called SOFEX, and I saw it on Vice.
Okay.
I think I might have told you about it. So the Americans have this thing that it's called international aid, which everyone knows what that is called.
Yeah.
But they also have something called the Import-Export Bank.
Okay.
So the Import-Export Bank, they give money to a country, but they say you have to spend that country and buy goods from an American company,
mm-hmm.
right? Which, I mean, that's okay, right?
That's fair.
But so at this SOFEX thing, they use they claim it's international aid, right? So when they do their big tally up how much money the American government spent, it'll go into the international aid pocket, just hidden away in there. And they give money to countries like, I don't know, dictators in CAR or like the Congo or Libya or other dictators or war generals all across the world. And they say, you have to spend that money on American arms. So they go to this place called SOFEX, and I'm bringing it up here, and they buy guns, basically.
So
and they buy tanks.
Rebels.
And they buy, all across the world. And they buy all the newest gear, and they'll buy helicopters and get deals like, oh, you buy this with the rocket launcher, and you can get the machine gun for free. And it's insane. It's absolutely insane.
Do they have a Black Friday?
I'm sure. You know what? They might. Was that 2-for-1 on M16s or something like that?
Yeah. Buy one, get one free.
Nick Cage just buying all the clips. What movie was that from? Were you slinging guns? Oh.
I never watch a Nicolas Cage movie.
Oh my goodness. Do you have any? Okay, so let's go to healthcare, I guess.
Healthcare.
Yeah, it's a nice little one.
Yeah. So
Obama instated the
Obamacare,
or what is it called officially? Nah, whatever. It doesn't really matter. So Medicare is there for the old people.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, so Obamacare is basically, it's a mandate, or some people call it a tax, or a mandate. So if you don't buy healthcare, you have to pay a certain amount. I think it's like $250 a month or something like that. And the premiums are actually just been projected to go up a ton. 17% next year. So some people, like, if people in Canada, we don't, even in BC, so we have to pay, but it's only $55, $56 or something like that.
No, it's went up. It's up to 75.
Is it 75 now?
75.
Jeez. I'm going to talk to Christy Clark about that.
Yeah.
But there's, if you don't know, some people in the States pay like $400 or $500 a month for healthcare.
Crazy.
Absolutely insane.
And Donald Trump has the audacity to say that Canadians, when they need a big operation, come into the United States in many cases because their system is so slow. Their system is flawed.
It's terrible doctors.
It is catastrophic in certain ways.
It's like there's a bunch of people walking up around here with bum knees and like thrown out backs because they can't get in the hospital line.
You see people walking around with broken necks crossing the border.
In the car, like, hold on, Jim, we're almost there. Sir, can I see your passport? Where are you going today? The hospital. That'll be $400,000 for your neck operation, sir. So anyway, so Obamacare, basically it was a giant gift. It originally was a Republican plan.
Mm-hmm.
It came from the Heritage Foundation, which is a right-wing think tank in the States, in D.C. And it was their answer to universal healthcare. So they want a mandate, so you have to buy. And it's a big gift to all the healthcare companies. They just gave them 20 million or so people to take money from now.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no incentive to keep the price down because there's barely any competition because there's all these tons of, like, big companies and not a lot of competition, right? Because there's only a few of them. And they can't do the cross state lines. So you can't have a company in, I don't know, Mississippi giving healthcare to someone in Florida, right? It has to be a Florida company giving it some. So there's another Republican move where they want to open up the borders and they say that'll create tons of, but then there's another argument against that, which says, well, then they'll just move to the state that has the lowest taxes and they just make even more money, right? And they won't have competition because they'll just buy each other and create another monopoly or oligopoly. So Clinton, what kind of moves does she want to make to improve that?
Well, she's, one of her big principles, she wants to legalize prescription drug imports from Canada.
Yes, I saw that. She released that, 2 days ago?
Yeah.
That was huge.
Mm-hmm.
That will bring the price of their healthcare down quite a bit.
Exponentially.
Yeah, because they pay, what, 3 to 4 times as much for drugs? What was that EpiPen story?
They pay, honestly, if you took the cost of the drug to make and the cost that they sell it, they are making it over 100 times fold.
The markup is on these drugs. I mean,
and that's to help people get better. That's why I'm super skeptical of pharmaceutical companies.
That's why healthcare as a profitable business is not ethical.
It's Pharmageddon.
The incentive. Pharmageddon. The incentives are all off, right? Because you want to keep people sick so that they keep buying stuff from you, you know? So you're not, I mean,
they're selling sickness.
There's tons of conspiracy theories about how the cure for cancer has already been found and they're hiding it in some room in the CDC because they want to keep making...
They've got a plant extract of a drug out of Colombia.
Yeah, some crazy... They found it on some cocaine dealer's boot or something. I mean, honestly, they have to do universal health care. That is the answer, basically.
Mm-hmm.
All the other nations do it. It works. We get same outcomes, even better outcomes sometimes, or most of the time.
Most of the time, yeah.
And we don't have as many sick people. Like, one of the leading causes of bankruptcy, or I think it might be the leading cause in the States, is healthcare emergencies.
Yeah, that doesn't surprise me.
You get in a car accident.
You often find that doctors perform operations when they're not even needed.
Right. Or they'll charge $100 for
a consultation.
Like an Advil pill or something.
Or a consultation. They'll charge $1,000 when the person does not need to be consulted on.
Right.
And there's so many kind of injuries. So, for example, if you were in Canada and you tore your meniscus in your knee and you were kind of an office worker who wasn't really playing sports, maybe they worked out once in a while, but it wasn't really affecting your day-to-day life, you wouldn't be shortlisted for surgery.
Right.
In America, they get you in for immediate surgery.
If you have the health care.
If you have the health care.
Right. Because they get paid either way.
Yeah.
So it doesn't matter if you're a professional athlete. Yeah. Well, they'll pay the... They'll pay the extra amount to
and
get put
it's
in.
It's actually been documented that oftentimes in America, doctors will neglect older individuals and people who have chronic diseases because they can get younger people in and out a lot quicker through the doors. And oftentimes the amount of money they earn is based on the amount of people they see per day.
Oh, really? They don't do it on time. They do it on how many people they see. Yeah. See, the incentives are all off, right?
And not even happened in Canada until recently. They just introduced a cap, I think, of 50 people a day.
Oh, 50 people. 50 people?
Yeah.
That is so high. Yeah. How many people were they seeing before that?
Well, it really does depend on the morals of the doctor, right? Like, if you get some older woman or man in who's got a number of chronic diseases, it honestly may take a couple of hours to get through them and prescribe the right drugs, the right kind of exercise prescription. I don't like the term exercise prescription because it should be fun, but
right.
It might take a few hours, whereas they get this young person in, they can get them in and out in a matter of minutes.
And yeah, they just write a script.
A prescription and away they go.
Right, they don't have to compensate for all the other pre-existing
stuff,
right? Yeah. Man, that's crazy. Okay, I've got a question.
Yes.
So, did we talk about immigration a little bit?
Yeah, a wee bit.
Yeah. Okay, when did amnesty become a bad word? Why is that a bad word?
It's not.
Now?
It's a great word.
And Trump is, he's like, they're going to bring amnesty, like yelling, railing against it. When did amnesty become that? I mean, Amnesty International, we've got an ad for them on our radio lineup here. I mean... Yeah.
Like, I believe that, like, immigrants, like, even undocumented ones are economic assets.
Right.
And that's...
And if not them, their children,
yeah,
maybe.
That's even backed up by a lot of government studies and economic people who are really high up in their field.
Yeah.
Are producing reports on that. If they are legalized and start using more of the services, they now pay tax. Is right.
They pay taxes on...
And they remain an economic asset.
Mm-hmm. I think it was... Is it Steve Jobs? I think his dad was a Syrian immigrant.
Really?
Was it Steve? I think it was Steve. Or maybe it was
the
Microsoft guy. I don't know.
Yeah.
Anyways, I just thought that was funny.
And like, to top it off, like getting away from the economy, getting away from all this, they're human beings.
Right. Yeah, exactly. Right? Yeah. You can't treat them as numbers and like how much money they're going to make, but
yeah,
they're people, right?
Yeah.
They're not I hate that word, illegal aliens.
Like they're people that deserve like love as opposed to hate, which is now like this is what is getting Trump close to the presidency.
But Chris, we got to make America great again.
Oh, we do. They shouldn't have hostility. They should have hospitality.
Yep.
And not law enforcement, but law change, and then law relief.
Shit. Did you write that down?
No. So
that was off the head?
Off the top of the head.
That was deep, man.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to... I think that's the end of the show. That was pretty sweet. I'm going to play some of the most memorable quotes from past presidents, and we'll just wrap up.
Yeah? Sounds good. Thank you very much for having me on the show today, Chase.
Cheers. Thanks for coming on, bud.
December 7th, 1941, a date which will live in infamy.
The buck stops here. The buck stops at the president's desk when he's president of the United States.
I have today issued an executive order directing the use of troops under federal authority to aid in the execution of federal law at Little Rock, Arkansas.
And so, my fellow Americans, ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
I shall not seek, and I will not accept, the nomination of my party for another term as your president.
People have got to know whether or not their president's a crook. Well, I'm not a crook. I've earned everything I've got.
And by these presents do grant a full, free, and absolute pardon unto Richard Nixon.
It is a crisis of confidence. It is a crisis that strikes at the very heart and soul and spirit of our national will.
Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall.
Read my lips. No new taxes.
I want you to listen to me. I'm going to say this again. I did not have sexual relations with that woman, Miss Lewinsky.
I can hear you. The rest of the world hears you. And the people who knocked these buildings down will hear all of us soon.
We will keep this promise to the American people. If you like your health care plan, you'll be able to keep your health care plan. Period.
Okay, thank you everyone for... Oh, is this on? There we go. I can't hear myself.
You're on mic one.
Oh, whoopsies. Almost made it through the show without messing up. Thanks for everyone for listening. This is 101.9 CITR Radio coming to you live, my first live show from UBC on unceded Musqueam territory. What's your show?
Particles and Waves.
Particles and Waves is coming up next. It sounds pretty interesting. Mm-hmm. We'll throw you over to Sam here, and he'll shuffle through, and then Particles and Waves will come on.
Singing to myself, I wanna hold your